This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. Dr. Bob, good morning.
Thank you for having me.
So let's cover a number of things in terms of COVID-19. First of all, give us kind of an overall world look at some of the hot spots of COVID-19 right now.
Well, still very, very active in the world. The big hotspots now are in South America, especially in Brazil, but also Peru, Ecuador, and Argentina. Also very active in South Africa and very active in India. Europe is pretty quiet, and Asia has started to see some recurrence, but in general is pretty quiet.
And anything in terms of why some of those places are heating up?
Well, we think in South America, you remember now, this is the depth of their winter. And so there's some sense that that the cooler weather has caused issues. The other issue is that some of those smaller countries are really now being overwhelmed. They're running out of testing and running out of hospital capacity. And that's been a real problem.
Well, and I've wondered about that as we've been exploring this since March, because every country's health availability in terms of what they normally have in normal times really varies a lot. And it seemed early on like some countries really weren't very equipped to address things like this.
Right. There are some small countries that are not very well equipped. For example, they have very little ICU beds. They have almost no ventilators. And so their ability to deal with the outbreak is quite limited.
So what about the U.S. right now? What areas are we seeing hotspots in?
So the U.S. has been kind of stable in cases over the last week or so, actually maybe slightly coming down. The death rate is going up. It's still the places we've seen before, California, Texas, Louisiana, Florida. Actually, Arizona's done a good job, and they've moved down a bit. But we're also starting to see an outbreak in the South and the Midwest. Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee are really struggling at this point.
What about regions that are doing a lot better than most?
Well, in general, Oregon is doing great, except for some big outbreaks in Umatilla-Moro and Valier counties. Oregon is doing really quite well, and probably the best performing region in the entire country is Southern Oregon. So Lane, Coos Kerry, Douglas, Jackson, and Josephine have some of the lowest rates anywhere in the country. So, for example, if we were a state and this Southern Oregon was a state, we would be far and away the lowest state in the union.
Wow. So what about summer travel? We've been bringing this up for the last few weeks because you've really been concerned about it.
Well, almost all of our recent cases can be traced back to an out-of-state acquisition of the disease. So people come from another place and then give it to somebody in Douglas County, or a Douglas County resident goes somewhere else and gets it, and because they're a Douglas County resident, gets counted as Douglas County. So, for example, last week, you know, we've had somebody who went to Arizona and got sick. We've had somebody from Nevada who came and brought it. We've had another family who was traveling through. So these are all the ways the disease comes in. And again, that's not surprising. When our rate of disease is a tenth or so of some of the high-risk areas, not shocking that they would bring disease here.
And what about maybe doing travel more safely for those folks who feel like they need to go somewhere for whatever that reason is?
So we're going to do travel more safely. There are a couple of things that we would recommend. If people would quarantine when they get to a new place, that would tremendously help. Because after 14 days of quarantine, your risk to others is zero. So if you have some time, people are retired or otherwise, please quarantine for 2 weeks before you go. The second thing is we think outdoor activities are much safer than indoor activities. In fact, we cannot think of a case that was transmitted outdoors. Almost all of the cases we have a clear indoor transmission. The other thing that we can do is socially distance and wear a mask. Those things will all help. And then just overall, be careful about travel. Recognize that when somebody's coming in from another area, when you're visiting somebody in another area, there's a lot of disease there, and you can't take the relaxed approach that we've had here.
What about schools? We're just weeks away, and it seems school districts are making different plans based, it seems, in a lot of cases due to their size, but everybody knows these plans are all kind of contingent upon Douglas County and the state hitting certain metrics. It seems a bit hard to plan here.
It is very hard to plan because predicting is hard, especially about the future. Right now, Douglas County is in good shape, so we should be able to open K-3 in the fall unless something bad happens. So, for example, we need to have less than 32 cases in a week. Our last week, we had just 16 cases, and our positivity has to be less than 5%. Our positivity was much less than that. So we could open K-3 at this point unless there was some other untoward event. Opening up all of schools requires that the state has a positivity of less than 5%. They have not been there in the last few weeks, and Douglas County would have to have less than 10 cases per 100,000. We're close. We're very close. And that's why I'm pleading with people that if we want to open schools in the fall, and we should desperately want to open schools in the fall, we need to bring our rate down a little bit further.
When you talk about kids, how they've been coping through the summer, increasingly, as I've talked to some local superintendents and other educators, hearing more about the mental health impacts of the past few months on young people.
Now, this is very hard. We think the mental health impact on all has been great. Think of these young kids who have friends, these young kids who are learning things at school, and they're not being able to be at school now since March is really taking a toll.
And do you think that's going to be a long-term problem? I mean, are we seeing things in kids that are going to be hard to shake even when things improve?
Well, kids are pretty resilient, and that's the great, great, great thing about being a pediatrician. Kids pop back pretty quickly, but, you know, kids are losing a good amount of their education. So if you're a second grader and you don't go back to school this year, it's a third of all of your school education that you've lost. So we really want those K-3 kids to go back to school.
Tomorrow you're having another drive-through testing clinic. For somebody who is not familiar, talk about how those work and how that got set up.
So we've been doing these since March. I think we've done over 50 clinics and well over 1,000 tests. And so people sign up, we'll give you time. Usually the amount of time it takes 10 minutes. Drive through, stay in your car, we'll do the testing and get the results. Now the testing results had been quite a bit delayed a few weeks ago, but they really sped up in this last week. So that's a really good sign.
And I know other counties in the state have been sort of taking the cue from what's happened here. I keep hearing about more and more drive-through clinics, including in larger counties, larger population bases.
Yeah, I think we were one of the first to have gotten this done. This and the hotline and our contact tracing teams, we were all a few weeks or months ahead. And these are new things that people are doing, so it does take a little while to get good at it. So every weekend I go to Reedsport and do their clinic over there, and we've got it down to a very smooth process.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, COVID-19 update. Thanks for being on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
8:39 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.